Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It was time for a drink, and, you know, listen, after 2 o'clock it is for me. I do it with Riverset Rye Whiskey. I got several bottles at the house. I'm running low, not going to lie to you, but the reason why I'm running low is because it's so good. It tastes great. It's smooth, great tasting. The bottle is absolutely beautiful. I recommend it. It's my go-to whiskey. It should be your go-to whiskey as well. Only $29.99, okay? I'm going to repeat that. It's $29.99, so it's affordable, right? It's not going to break the bank, and it tastes amazing. You can sit down and enjoy it, that smooth whiskey taste. Get it wherever fine liquors are sold. And, you know, it's more important in these times now more than ever before to support locally, to drink locally, and you can do that with Riverset Rye because it is made right here in Memphis. It is aged along the banks of the Mississippi River, and you know, listen, that's what you want to support. So $29.99 wherever fine liquors are sold. Go get yourself a bottle of Riverset Rye. Join the rye revolution. Go against the current today.
We're brothers, we're happy, and we're singing, and
it's Jason and John on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone
with special
line.
Guest host Anthony Sane on 92.9 FM today.
I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger. Oh, whoever hated, my life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated, that mean my tables turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn, is try and fail, clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean, so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, I got that flame, who that, I got that flame, who that, I got that flame, so don't worry about, don't worry about my name, I got a flame.
You're rolling with the Jason and John Show on 92.9 ESPN. The voice that you hear might not sound familiar. Or it may sound familiar, but just at a different time, maybe a different day. You may hear me every Wednesday here at 125. I'm here a little earlier today, Brad Carson.
What's happening?
I'm here, man. I'm here. This is the Jason and John Show. We're ready to roll, man.
Good to have you. It's good to see a person, even if it's behind the glass.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to be here. For those of y'all who don't know, of course, my name is Anthony Sane. Hey, I cover your Memphis Grizzlies for Sports Illustrated, allgrizzlies.com. I'm here covering for Jason and John. Those guys are on vacation this week. Shout out to Jason and John getting their well rest, man. I'm sure they need it.
And I guess Jason's not even taking a day off. You got him on the show today, man.
Yeah, Jason's going to be coming in at 125 today. We're going to talk some Grizzlies basketball. We're going to talk about some social issues. We're going to talk about some parenting stuff. Yep. We're going to talk about the new R&R that's in the world, Brad. I don't know if I hip you to what the new R&R is.
No, you got to help me out here.
It's Rona and racism.
That is center stage, man. That is
they're definitely prevalent in the United States.
Absolutely.
And me and Jason are going to talk about those things. Mm-hmm. Also going to have Mark Giannotto coming in. Cool. He's going to come in this hour, later on this hour. Mark Giannotto is going to come in. You guys know he covers covers everything in Memphis as far as sports is concerned. He's a columnist for the Commercial Appeal. He's going to come on with us later on this hour. Also going to have one of my personal heroes, a legend, one of my Mount Rushmore black media members locally. His name is Jarvis Greer. He's coming in. I can't wait to have Jarvis in.
Good to have him.
And also, we're gonna talk about a lot today. It's not much sports going on today, Brad. But there is this is Hoop City. So there's definitely some basketball to talk about.
Yeah, I did hear this morning on Golic and Wingo, I was listening to, you know, I thought basketball was the only thing that was going to go on at Disney. You know what else is going on at Disney, don't you, besides Mickey Mouse?
They're talking about, like, reopening it or something.
I guess they're going to let limited people in, but they're going to have soccer going on at the same time. I don't know if you're hip to soccer or not, but
I'm not.
They're going to have soccer going on, like, on parts of the Disney campus at the same time as basketball. Now, I guess the cool thing is one's inside and one's outside, but I am glad that basketball is coming back. I don't know why they waited so daggum long. We got 7 more weeks still.
Right.
It's like,
right. If it's good now, why not just go ahead and play now? I don't understand why they're spreading it out so much either.
Like, can we just start it? Like, can y'all just, like, figure this out? I realized, like, I was listening to Jaren Jackson on that same conference call that you were. You know, what'd they do that conference call? About a month ago?
It seemed like that was forever ago.
It was like 6 weeks ago.
Right.
So they call all the members and they're like, you guys want to do a Zoom call with Jaren Jackson? We're just sitting at home going, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. Right? So Jaren Jackson, he might have been in San Antonio with his parents.
So. Mm-hmm.
But he did admit that he does not have a hoop at home,
right.
Which I thought was, I mean, I realize you got limited space. Sometimes these high-rise places, there's not, you know, apartments or condos. You may not have a hoop, but that was pretty surprising to me.
Well, it got worse than that for me, Brad.
Okay.
You were on that conference call with me when we talked to Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
I was on a couple of other conference calls that included the NBA 2K League guys.
And Jason and John have really thrown some shade on Grizzlies local 2K franchise.
They I get emails from them, like giving me updates, whatever. I think they're on a 4-game winning streak.
They're killing it.
I think they're doing pretty good.
Well, I mean,
I haven't watched a second of it.
I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't watch gaming, or I'm not a gamer. My son is a gamer. He plays 2K a little bit, but he's really into Splatoon more than he is 2K. But do we have a Splatoon team with the Grizzlies, or they just play 2K?
They just play 2K.
Yeah. It's just our team versus and then we represent the Grizzlies, so you have to use the Grizzlies roster.
And it's weird because when they started it, I was like, okay, cool, this is going to be guys from Memphis playing 2K. So
yeah.
That'd be fun.
It'd be cool.
But it's like dudes from everywhere. Like, they're, like, drafting guys, and they move them here. I was like, that was money y'all could have saved.
So they pay dudes, and they draft them and move them to Memphis.
They move them to Memphis.
That seems like we would have gamers already here.
Right. And we have a guy named Authentic African on the team.
That sounds like a cool name.
Yeah, I think he actually is African.
He's from, like, the country?
I want to say he might have been born here, but it's in his blood. I mean, it's in my blood,
Do
too.
Do they all have cool names like that?
Yeah, they go by their gamer names.
They have
real names, of course, that their mom and dad gave them, but
they don't use their real names?
Yeah, they go
it's
by
It's like
their,
radio guys. They use fake names.
Yeah, exactly. But Anthony Saint actually is my real name.
That is your real name?
Yes.
Brad Carson is not my real name. I've said that before.
I think you told me what your real name was. I don't think we're going to share it. Or not. I don't know if you've ever
shared it. Javier is my first name, really.
Really?
No, it's not. I'm making that up. It's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a conspiracy theory today, too. We're going to have one of those late.
You have the patented sane conspiracy theories. I'll get my Unsolved Mysteries music
cue that up for me.
I'll get that ready.
Well, yeah, man. Speaking of Unsolved Mysteries, just segueing into how we're going to open the show today.
Sure.
I feel like the Grizzlies are getting screwed, man. Sometimes I feel like the Grizzlies are getting screwed. So if you had asked me this time last year or whatever, I'm always the guy that'll tell you Memphis has to stop this inferiority complex. We got to stop thinking that, you know, the NBA is out to get us, or, you know, all these type of things. Because you hear that type of stuff, you know, because, you know, whether it's, you know, the Grizzlies have one of the best records in the league, but Mike Conley doesn't make the All-Star game.
Right.
Or it's,
we're getting screwed with the 8th seed because they got to somehow get they got to get
That's what they're doing now.
Get the Pelicans in.
Right. Or, you know, John Morant has been the best rookie in the league the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems like they're pushing for Zion to be rookie of the year. It just always feels like Memphis is getting screwed.
Yes.
I'm always the person who will say, no, man, I don't believe in that type of stuff. But when I look at the 22-team format of the teams they're bringing to Orlando for the bubble, we're going to talk about the bubble
as well. By the way, the NBA draft, I thought, disproved a lot of that last year. Like, the Grizzlies getting the number two pick is bananas.
Now, you know, I'm a conspiracy guy, and I
think that I have
a conspiracy for that, too. I don't think I've ever talked about
that.
No, I'll talk about that another
day. Okay, we'll get that.
We might do it today, too.
All right.
But, yeah, that's another conspiracy of mine.
Okay.
In this particular thing.
I was wrong, man.
In this particular thing they're doing now with the 22 team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Grizzlies are getting screwed.
Really?
I see both sides of it, but I think in the whole grand picture of it,
okay,
it feels like the Grizzlies are getting hosed.
Tell me why.
It seems like they are clearly trying to push, first of all, they're trying to push stars into the bubble.
This is the Zion thing.
They're trying to push
Zion.
They want Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
They even want Devin Booker there. They even want Greg Popovich, who's a star within himself. They want these stars in Orlando, and I get it.
Okay.
And I'll talk to our all of our guests today about this as well. I get it. I get that side of it. But it seems like
– yeah, you want it to be more fun, right. So you want more players and more – you want more hype.
Right. Plus, you got the TV money thing. You know, right. There's more money guaranteed they play. I think 8 more games is really all they had to play to get the –
yeah,
the
and
TV
it's – so they want to get that, and they want to warm these cats up so they're not just coming cold off of the corona, lockup.
But it seems like that. It seems like they're clearly setting the Grizzlies up. But I think that that's not necessarily a bad thing, Brad.
Okay.
Because I've covered this team full-time for the first time this year. And it's almost like these guys are like my coworkers. I see these guys every day. Mm-hmm. It's just like Jason sees John. You see Jason and John. But not like
used
not,
to.
Not yet, used to. That's how
you know,
used to
I
be.
Got you. Yeah.
Right. I see John.
Yeah.
I crack a joke with John. I see Jaren.
You develop a relationship with these guys because you cover them closely.
Right. And the thing I've noticed about these guys is they don't like to be shaded. Like, we shaded Grizz Gaming for a good 5 minutes.
Right.
Few minutes ago.
Right. I'm not. Let me be clear. It's the guys who are normally in this studio.
Right. Well, that's correct.
They just have fun with it, too, by the way. I don't think they're doing it. They're not being disrespectful. They're just having some fun with it.
And I give props to those kids, too, because, like I said, I wish I could have been 20 years old making $40,000, $50,000 a year for, like, 3 months' work.
How much do they get?
They make, like, $50,000. I think they make more than what G League guys
No.
If I'm not mistaken. They make good money, though. And they're only here for a few months. Yeah, they make good money. It's somewhere between
$20,000 or $30,000 to play video games?
Is that what it is? You looked it up?
I don't know. No, I just hit the sound effect button.
It's somewhere between like $30,000 and $50,000.
I'll Google it while. Okay. How much do NBA 2K gamers. Oh, apparently, I'm not the first to Google this because a bunch of people have typed it because the thing popped right into the search engine.
I'm going to take a guess. It's $30,000 a year.
Okay, the prize money to start with is $1 million. So there's a lot of money at stake if they win the whole thing, and I guess they split that.
It's only like six dudes on the team, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't say. Now my internet's locking up. But that sounds about right. $30,000 or $40,000?
Whatever it is, man. They're making good money.
But they're getting paid to play video games, and they somehow can afford a lifestyle that probably at least puts them up, I guess.
Right, because they're 20 years old, and all they do is play video games all day. So what are they really spending the money on? Pizza? DoorDash? I mean
right now, delivery? That's about it.
Right. So what are they spending money on?
Yeah.
So with that being said, though, I see the Grizzlies all the time, but I know these guys. They're passionate. They have pride. No one can tell these guys they're not supposed to be as good as they are already.
Yeah.
And I know that they're hearing the stuff that people are saying. And the number one team that they're pushing in front of everything, where it seems like if you look at Vegas odds, if you listen to the national commentators, it's just a matter of time before the New Orleans Pelicans pass the Grizzlies.
Sure.
And if you look at the way the schedule's set up, when I first saw the schedule, I was infuriated.
You were upset about it.
I was infuriated, Brad Carson, because it looked like they were setting up the Grizzlies where we got to play the Pelicans twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody broke it down to me, saying, calm down. That's the way the NBA schedule was anyway. All they did was got rid of the eight teams that aren't going to be in Orlando.
Yeah, the crappy teams that have really no shot, like Golden State out.
Right.
Yeah.
So now that's the schedule that's left. The Grizzlies have to play the Pelicans twice.
Right.
And they may have to play Portland twice. So at first I thought we were getting screwed. And I said, okay, that's cool. We got to play the Pelicans twice.
Right.
And the way I look at it, Brad, yes, I do feel like the Grizzlies are being screwed. But the good part of it, about it, Brad, something I've been campaigning this whole time, and I'm extremely excited about it, that this actually looks like it's about to happen
now. Okay.
I think this is about to be a rivalry brewing between the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans.
Like the Clippers and the Grizzlies used to be.
I think because everyone knows that rivalries need a playoff race or a playoff series.
Yep. Yep.
You can have all those regular season matchups and all that kind of stuff, but those playoff series and playoff races is what builds.
So you see this as a positive byproduct of them trying to screw the Grizzlies in the first place.
I think
maybe the result is we get a new rivalry.
Exactly. I think we're going to get a new rivalry out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because in theory, if we play New Orleans 2 more times.
Right.
And something happens where we have to play a play-in. I think the Pelicans are the team that we'd have to play a play-in against.
Okay.
That means you're going to play them at least maybe once because we go out there and spank them.
Yep.
Or we could play them twice.
Right. And we have not done well against the Pelicans. Let's be clear. They kicked our ass this year.
They came to Memphis. They beat us on MLK Day.
Yeah, I watched it.
Which is a special day to all of us.
They broke your heart.
And I hate losing on MLK Day, but it's been
I hate losing in any day, but especially on MLK Day because it's a feast your nationals.
Right.
We're on the stage.
And you're off work that day. And you took off work to watch us get killed.
It hurts. I did.
and so I'm not a fan of seeing us lose on MLK Day.
Okay.
And then we went to New Orleans, and I traveled to New Orleans. And if you notice, I remember. There isn't a budget allocation with Sports Illustrated to send me anywhere.
That's
try to take my behind out of pocket wherever I go. I jump on a mega bus, so I rent a car. Or I drive
mega
my car.
Bus?
Oh, I roll mega
like
bus.
Like a dollar?
Yeah, pay like $20.
Yeah.
Okay. I got an Airbnb, and I went to I stayed in New Orleans. It was me, my brother, and a friend.
Yeah.
And I traveled to New Orleans. We got our butts kicked in this crap arena. If you have anyone,
I have not been to Smoothie King Center or Arena.
Looks like somebody took a smooth dump inside of this place. That's what it looks like. Not Smoothie King. Looks like somebody took a smooth dump.
Smooth crapper.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Trash.
I got you.
It's one of the worst arenas in the NBA. It looks like the Landry Center with a makeover. You know how I like?
Oh, is it small too?
It's trash. It's just one. It looks like the Coliseum.
I don't even like the Pelicans logo to begin with.
It's trash.
It's a big bird that is nasty.
Scary looking.
It's a nasty-ass bird.
And another thing about New Orleans, like, when I went to New Orleans, bro, now, you know, you go around Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive around the city of Memphis and you count to 20, you're going to see something that reflects the Grizzlies.
Right? Absolutely.
There's a billboard, a bus.
Painting, wall mural,
yeah,
whatever.
Murals, exactly. Yeah. Murals, artwork, T-shirts, hats. You're going to see something that makes you think, hey, man, this city loves New Orleans. Man, they don't about to give a crap about the Pelicans in New Orleans, man. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have. I've spent a lot of time in New Orleans.
And when I went down there,
I don't remember it like most folks, but I have been to New Orleans. Sure.
And I go down there, I go to the city where the only presence you see of any kind of fandom as far as the Pelicans is concerned is when you're at the arena and you see the stuff that they put down there.
That's their problem, right? They're overshadowed by a bigger and better franchise that a lot of people care more about.
Right, the Saints, one of the most prideful fan bases in the NFL.
Exactly.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to New Orleans, and we lose.
It's literally in the shadow of that stadium too, so that kind of puts it in perspective.
And I go to New Orleans, we get our butts handed to us by this team that nobody in the city cares about.
Yep.
And it hurt my heart, man. Had to sit in this horrible arena that looks like, you know how, like during the pandemic, a lot of restaurants shut down.
Sure.
And then when you went back to them,
I have not been to a restaurant.
You're pretty much a germaphobe, I assume.
You've probably gathered that from my interactions.
Right.
And it's not that I'm trying to be crazy or anything.
It's all good, bro.
Like, I'm trying to follow protocol here.
Right, I feel you. But see,
got sanitation to deal with.
But for you haven't been to a restaurant, but I have.
Yeah.
If you follow me on Facebook, you see
I have. You've been actually. You are probably the opposite of me. If I'm gathering this correctly,
like,
you are
here,
not a germaphobe.
Right.
You are. And by the way, I'm not a germaphobe. I'm trying to be respectful. My wife, she's immunocompromised.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those people that we talk about so quickly that where we say, you know. So I'm trying to be respectful of her.
Right.
But I also, by the way, having grown up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would crawl through the middle of a pig lot. Like, I ain't a germaphobe.
Right.
Chris Michaels, who's the program director of the other stations, total germaphobe. So, like, he is, like, he's in lockup. Like, I have tried to do what I got to do, but the Smoothie King place is a dump. It's like, it's nasty even for folks.
Yeah, let me make this analogy for you.
Bro. Please.
Make it make sense for you. All right, so for people like me who are going back to restaurants,
mm-hmm.
like, I went to Bryant's. One of my favorite places
Love
to eat.
Bryant's.
Bryant's Breakfast.
Oh, amazing. Breakfast.
Amazing
this
stuff.
It's so good.
Hash brown casserole.
I miss Bryant's, man. Are they back open now?
Yes.
Oh, good.
That's the point I'm trying to make. When I went back to Bryant's, bro.
You're back.
They're, like, totally remodeled. They've got, like, COVID-19 proof stuff.
They got the protocol going.
They got the door thing where you with your foot or whatever.
Yeah, you lift. No touch service.
All kind of stuff. They got the sanitizer put in.
Beautiful.
They had time to paint since they were closed down, remodeled. They got that stimulus money. Got the stimulus check and use it to remodel.
Shout out to the stimulus money.
They had everything but a debit card swiper. Everything was brand new. Still cash only. But,
I got
you. Know, whatever.
I'm fine with that.
But the point I'm trying to make is Smoothie King Arena looks like the Mid-South Coliseum after a stimulus check. Like somebody cleaned it up and put some more.
Current Mid-South Coliseum shut down Mid-South Coliseum?
Looks like the Landry Center
like
and Mid-South.
Like panels falling down.
Looks like the Landry Center and Mid-South Coliseum came together and said, hey, we just gonna make this bomb-ass NBA arena with a $1,200 stimulus check. that's what Smoothie King Arena looks like. So I had to take an L.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
In New Orleans, it's crap. And I love New Orleans. I love the city of New Orleans.
I love it too.
But their fans have this weird entitlement, and I get it though,
mm-hmm.
because this is why they have this entitlement. You've been a franchise for like 15 years.
You did lose it for a while though. I mean, you had that Charlotte thing where they like went away.
But check this out though. Even then, when they were Charlotte,
George Shinn or whatever moved them out.
Right.
You know?
But check this out. When they were Charlotte, they had Chris Paul handed to them.
Yes, they
had Chris Paul on their team.
Yeah, well, that was when Stern said, we're not making the Lakers trade, right?
Right, they had Chris Paul, who was one of these best point guards to ever play the game.
Yeah.
They had Chris Paul. As soon as Chris Paul leaves, another conspiracy theory. The NBA gives them Anthony Davis. That's a whole other theory for you guys to look into.
Okay.
On your own time.
Unsolved mysteries.
Right. So you got Anthony Davis, one of the best power forwards of all time.
So you think that we've been getting screwed by the NBA too, because they've been given preferential treatment to the Pelicans.
Right.
The New Orleans
team
franchise
just never had to struggle. They've always been gifted one of the best players in the NBA. And now they've got Zion Williamson. They've never had a struggle like where their best player is Mike Conley, their best player is Marc Gasol. They've always had one of the best players in the league in their fan base. So I just hate the Pelicans, bro.
I do. The one thing that makes us very similar to the Pelicans is we are always thrown in with these conversations about movable franchises.
Right, small markets.
They always bring it up.
And that's why I can relate to them.
I can totally relate to them. And I kind of empathize with them because we can identify.
Yeah.
We're the other small market that gets lumped in. Yeah, like Seattle needs a franchise.
Let's go get
Memphis. Vegas is getting a team. Let's go get Memphis or New Orleans. Who's the bottom of the barrel?
Right.
I mean, it's not really. I agree with you. So we're similar in that regard. I just can't resent the Pelicans because it's a damn Pelican.
Like, I just hate the fact that they're pushing these guys in front of us.
And the other problem is, what we need is a good, I do agree with you, though. What we need is to see some of these games in this bubble thing.
Right.
Like, be like the Clippers were.
Right.
Because not only is, Chris Paul to me is not a likable dude outside of those State Farm commercials.
Right.
And I think he's fine, but, it was a fun basketball rivalry, right?
Mm.
Like, we need something like that.
We need
Zach Zeebo on the floor punching the dude or choke holding out Blake Griffin moment.
Right.
So
I need to see that. I need to see JV, strangle
somebody.
Zion
on, yeah, like yeah. So, like Zion. Yeah, I don't wish ill on Zion because I know he's got, everybody makes fun of him being fat or upside down bowling and all this stuff.
Right.
But I'm not gonna get down with that. I hope he does well.
Now, I'll tell you the one I'd like to see.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Dylan Brooks take out Lonzo Ball.
Dylan Brooks. That actually is. If I had to wager on stuff that could happen, that'd probably be. It would.
I can see them.
Anything involving Dylan Brooks would probably be at the top of the list. Like John Morant, I don't need him getting into a brawl. Like, we need you to be nice. Dylan Brooks, man, he seems like the kind of cat who would get into it with Ball.
And John's a talker, though. I don't know if John want to put them hands on nobody.
No.
But speaking of Orlando, I think the NBA is handling this whole thing wrong as far as, because did you notice when they were talking about the rules, they broke down something saying that they were talking about having pumped in crowd noise via NBA 2K. First of all, NBA 2K's crowd reactions are trash.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there, first of all. And number two,
they sound too fake to you.
Yeah, and not just that. It seems like they're doing that to kind of mask the guys talking crap on the court.
I got you.
Because there's no fans.
Oh, you want to? I actually like the mic'd up idea.
Yeah.
Like, if I can hear,
I need to hear it.
I want to hear John Morant throwing trash at
I want to hear Dylan Brooks.
Lonzo Ball.
I want to hear Dylan Brooks, because if you've been to a Grizzlies game,
that's what we need.
Yeah, you'll notice that.
I agree with you
if
there.
If you look at Dylan Brooks, he's always screaming, he's always yapping, but you never know what he's saying.
That's what the league needs.
Yeah, they need to.
And in fact, I know we don't give a crap about baseball, but that's what baseball needs too. All these sports.
Let's hear it, man. All the crap.
That actually saved that foursome golf thing they did.
Yeah,
mic up these dudes.
I want to hear all of it.
Can you do both, though? Can't you mic it up and then have some guy, technical guy, figure out how to do both? I don't know.
But I always wondered, of course, they said, okay, they're going to have NBA 2K provided pumped in crowd noise.
Yeah.
How do you do that, though?
They'll figure it out.
But I'm saying, if you have it where it leans toward the team that's...
Oh, who's the home?
Who's
who
home,
gets the
who's
advantage?
Away.
Well, it would be who's the delegated home team. So, if Memphis is playing New Orleans... So, here's my question to you. If it's Memphis and New Orleans, whoop that trick, going to be pumping in there?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, too, bro. Can we have our
We get our
sound?
Special custom sound.
Yeah.
Well,
we were talking about having callers call in today. We might want to add that in too.
That's cool.
What can we do to be part of our crowd package?
I like it.
Our care package to send off to the guys.
We can get ideas for this rivalry and how do we do the home court.
I
want to
talk about the rivalry thing. I want to talk to you guys today about who do you think our rivalry should be? I'm dead set that it should be the New Orleans Pelicans. I want to hear what the people have to say.
Okay.
And we'll
get until
like
1 o'clock or so. We open up the phones.
Yeah,
for
we'll do that.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Cool.
Well, yeah, man, but I guess we'll go ahead and take a break now, Brad.
Yep.
And this is the Jason John Show on 92.9 ESPN.
We got your guy next.
Yeah. Who is it? Giannotto.
Giannotto's
coming. Oh, yeah, my guy. Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back with Mark Giannotto. We're going to set the table for him. We'll be back in a minute. This is Anthony Sane and the Jason and John Show, 92.9 ESPN.
If it's time for a drink, after 2 o'clock it is for me, I do it with Riverset Rye Whiskey. I got several bottles at the house. I'm running low, not going to lie to you, but the reason why I'm running low is because it's so good. It tastes great. It's smooth, great tasting. The bottle is absolutely beautiful.
I recommend it. It's my go-to whiskey. It should be your go-to whiskey as well. Only $29.99, okay? I'm going to repeat that. It's $29.99, so it's affordable, right? It's not going to break the bank, and it tastes amazing. You can sit down and enjoy it, that smooth whiskey taste. Get it wherever fine liquors are sold. And, you know, it's more important in these times now more than ever before to support locally, to drink locally, and you can do that with Riverset Rye because it is made right here in Memphis. It is aged along the banks of the Mississippi River, and, you know, listen, that's what you want to support. So, $29.99, wherever fine liquors are sold, go get yourself a bottle of Riverset Rye. Join the Rye Revolution. Go against the current today.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, this is Gary Parrish encouraging you to get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, a second-generation local agency that's been owned and operated since 1981. It is the home of the Erie Rate Lock. What's the Erie Rate Lock? It's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year you don't have an accident, your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. And let the record show that lower than normal rates are now available, which is great because if recent events have taught us anything, it's that every penny matters. Listen, you have a local doctor, your local dentist, your local lawyer. You need your own personal local insurance agent, too. So please get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance, which has two offices in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other on Highway 51 in Covington. You can reach Elizabeth Rook Insurance by phone at 867-SAVE. That's 867-7283. Or you can visit online at rookinsurance.com. Again, that's rookinsurance.com.
June instant games are available now at Tennessee Lottery retailers. Yeah! And feature top prizes ranging from $5,000 up to $500,000.
Meet Chuck. Now, meet Chuck's personal information.
Hello.
Made up of things like account logins, bank info, and Chuck's social security number. Whenever Chuck shops, banks, and browses online, his info travels all over the world.
Bonjour. Ni hao. Privyet.
Exposing it to cyber threats.
Well, that's no good.
So how is Chuck able to sleep? Because he knows Norton and LifeLock are now part of one company. Norton 360 with LifeLock provides an all-in-one membership for your cyber safety that gives you device security, identity theft protection, a VPN for online privacy, and more. No one can prevent all cybercrime and identity theft, but Norton 360 with LifeLock is your ally in today's connected world.
That's a relief, right, Chuck? I think that's a yes.
Sign up today for Norton 360 with LifeLock and save 25% or more off your first year by going to norton.com/news. That's norton.com/news for 25% off.
Hey, it's Jason Smith. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, including ones for jobs like replacing your brake pads and rotors or installing new wipers. Visit AutoZone.com today and start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com.
Learn the potter's wheel with today's Perks Deal. A private pottery lesson for two at Seize the Clay for only $100. Get your deal today at GetMyPerks.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
With special guest host Anthony Sane on 92.9 FM today.
Right, we're back on the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. I'm your guest host today, Anthony Sane. About to bring on one of the hosts of another one of the shows on the station today. His name is Mark Giannotto. You guys know him. He's on every day between 2 and 4, along with Jeffrey Wright. He also is a columnist for the Commercial Appeal, and Mark Giannotto joins us now. Mark, what's going on, man?
Not much. Not much. It's this should be interesting, Sane. I didn't know till yesterday you were guest hosting, and I immediately was like, what's he going to do?
Right,
and that's
exactly.
Probably the perfect – that's probably the perfect thing for a sports talk radio
exactly.
host, for someone to think when someone's about to do a, you know, about to come on air. Is what's he going to do? It's like the Howard Stern thing.
Well, I'm glad you got that nervous concern, Mark, because I'm going to hit you with some hard questions today, man. The first question, first question I have is a question that, because when people found out I was hosting the show, they was like, oh, who are you interviewing? I said, I'm interviewing Giannotto, probably Jarvis Greer. You know, Jason Smith's going to come. Oh, man, you need to ask Giannotto this. So I thought I'd use this as an opportunity to do that. First of all, Mark, just to get it out of the air, why do you hate Memphis so bad, Mark Giannotto? What has Memphis ever done to you, Mark Giannotto?
Mark the Narc.
It's funny that, you know, some people think that. Because I always find it funny when I write something people don't like or say something people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, one of the most common replies or comments I'll get is, when are you going to move? Like, when are you going to leave Memphis? Like, just leave.
Right.
And I always say to people, like, I love Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may write some critical things, but, like, honestly, I came here, I guess it was, like, a little over 3 years ago, and aside from when I interviewed at the Commercial Appeal, I'd never been to Memphis before in my life. And honestly, I fell in love with the place. It's, like, the exact type of, you know, I spent most of my life in the D.C. area, but, like, I like living in Memphis a lot more than I like living in D.C. The pace of life is better. I like the fact that it's a overgrown town, as people call it. You know, you feel like what you do matters here. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, I was working at the Washington Post, and you know, the Washington Post has a much bigger reach than the Commercial Appeal,
right.
And a much bigger, you know, D.C. is a bigger town. But when you write something in D.C., it just feels like a lot of times it gets lost. And when you write stuff here and when you're talking on the radio, like, you can really feel that it matters. And sometimes it's, you know, it matters in ways where people are, you know, get upset with me or aren't happy with what I wrote, but, like, at least they're reading it. And it, you feel like you can make a difference here. And so it's funny that people think that. I think it's just probably because I'm not from here, you know, I think differently than people from here, but it doesn't mean I love it here. Like, if it was, you know, if these decisions are not totally up to me, but, like, I have no, like, I plan on being here for the foreseeable future as long as my family's happy here. But, like, me personally, like, I love it here. I mean, now at this point, you know, I've set down roots here in a lot of ways because I really have fallen in love with the place. It's like, it's really, yeah. I didn't expect to be honest. When I came here, I thought this was going to be a short-term destination for me. But I don't want it to be now. And now I'm 3.5 years in, and I have no plans on leaving anytime soon.
Well, Mark, that's good
to
know.
So long story short, those people who think I hate Memphis are kind of stuck with me.
Well, I'm glad we got that part taken care of, Mark. It's good to know that you actually do care about the city that I love. with everything I have. But the other hard question people ask me is, why do you kiss up to Tubby Smith so much, but you hate on Penny? And those are the exact words. Why do you hate on Penny Hardaway, Mark Giannotto?
So here's the key thing. I never covered Tubby as a columnist. I was the beat writer when Tubby was the coach. And I would just – my feeling is, when I look back on that time, is that – I tried my best to stay neutral on Tubby, and with how things went with Tubby, staying neutral, especially that second season when everyone was just like, you know, wanted him gone, staying neutral was seen as being positive towards him. Because I can tell you, he didn't, you know, I would say I had an antagonistic relationship with Tubby. Like, I had a good relationship, I guess. Like, he talked to me as much as he talked to anyone, although he didn't talk to people that much.
Right.
But he also got annoyed with me because of stuff I wrote. And I think what I think the difference is, the way I think about the Tubby era differently than others, is that I think people didn't like Tubby and the way he was never a good fit here. Like, he just wasn't. But people got mad at Tubby for being Tubby. Like, the way he acted in Memphis, the way he went about his job in Memphis, is how he's been doing things for 25 years.
Right.
It wasn't like Tubby Smith changed. And so I have always been curious why more people haven't looked back at why was he hired in the first place. Like, I think Tubby got a lot of blame for not adjusting to Memphis, and I think that's totally fair. Like, he needed to be out in the community. He needed to be getting butts in seats. But if you look back at what he was before he came to Memphis, that's never been who he was. So why was he hired in the first place? And so I tend to look at it more like that. And, you know, I remember in the moment I was doing podcasts at the Commercial Appeal, and I said, you know, maybe you give him a third year just to see if he can make the tournament.
Right.
And in retrospect, that was wrong. I mean, we've seen now with the enthusiasm Penny generated and the amount of money the revenue he generated for the athletic department, they made the right move, cutting the cord when they cut the cord, and hiring Penny. I guess that would be the only thing where, like, people say I love Tubby. I think the only thing I said in the moment was I'd maybe give him a third year, and in retrospect, I was wrong.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you clearing those things up. I think the city will give you – Memphis is a city of second chances, man. You know, we voted for a lot of mayors way too many terms, so I think we give guys second chances.
I'd like to think part of the reason I'm now the columnist of the Commercial Appeal, and I've been able to, be relatively successful over 3 years here, though, is also, I think, I don't know, I'm not going to put words in other people's mouths, but I think about things, I think a little differently than other people in the market, and I'm not saying, like, their way of thinking about it is right and mine's wrong, or mine's right and theirs wrong, but it's different, and I think I come at things a little differently. I'm probably a little more critical than other people in the media. But I just feel like that's who I am. And if I'm not who I am, if I'm just trying to write what people want to hear instead of what I believe and what I feel, like, I'm not going to do a very good job. Like, you got to be you, just like you saying, like, right. One of the things I love about you is you're unapologetically you, you know? Like, you don't give an S what people might think about you.
An F either.
You're gonna be you.
Right.
And I think it's what made you it's what makes you a personality that people are increasingly fascinated by.
I appreciate that, Mark. I think I'm gonna tell you something else that's good about you, man. It's, you know, a lot of times when people are given a bad rap or whatever, you need someone to kind of be an enabler or kind of transition you over. And I'll share a fact about you that a lot of people who listen to this radio station may not know about you. For those of y'all who don't really know Mark Giannotto, I've got to know him. He's a pretty cool guy. He looks like the critic, the cartoon The Critic from back in the 90s.
But it stinks!
Right. But one cool thing that you guys might not know about Mark Giannotto, Mark Giannotto spent a couple years living in North Memphis. I don't think they know that, Mark. I don't think they know that at all. And Mark may not even realize.
Are we calling Crosstown North Memphis?
Crosstown is very much North Memphis.
Not North Memphis.
Crosstown is very much North Memphis.
No.
When we open up these phone lines today.
I went to North Memphis quite a bit. I went to that Tops down the street quite a bit.
You live 2 minutes from that Tops, Mark Giannotto. You live in North Memphis, sir. I see that you don't realize that you live in North Memphis, but I hate to break that news to you, but Crosstown is North Memphis.
Okay.
It's been gentrified, but it's still, you know, people in Memphis know that Crosstown is North Memphis. But see, that helps, Mark. I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to let people know, you know, you got a hood pass.
Unfortunately, we moved out to Germantown.
Yeah, same on you, because you were my neighbor. I lived in North Memphis, and you were my neighbor. But another thing about Memphis, Mark, because you're from the Virginia, D.C. area, right?
I grew up in, like, the Maryland suburbs of D.C., and then I lived in D.C. for, like, 7 years.
Okay, so I'm sure there were a lot of culture shocks when you came to Memphis, so I'll give you a pass on those as well. Like, I'm sure you had never seen catfish and spaghetti eating at the same time. Is it?
No, catfish wasn't big in D.C. No, I mean, this is my first time, like, I covered Virginia Tech and UVA at the Washington Post, but, like, Charlottesville's, like, it's kind of like, a more northern version of Oxford, and Blacksburg is more like hillbilly than the South, you know? It's more like mountain folk. like West Virginia type people, than being truly in the South. This was my first time like living in the South.
Right. So you also were probably wondering why there were so many churches and why there were so many wing places. I'm sure you probably wondered that as well.
The churches didn't surprise me. The wing places did. Like I knew there was going to be barbecue. I didn't know how good the wings were going to be.
Okay.
Although I will say there's so many wing places that there are some really bad wings in this town.
Yeah, you can find some bad wings here. But what were your thoughts on coleslaw on barbecue sandwiches?
I'd always eaten. So I covered the ACC at the Post. So I'd been I used to go to North Carolina a lot, like going to UNC or Duke or NC State, Wake Forest, ECU. I went to all those places. And they all like their barbecue. I know people here don't like North Carolina barbecue, that vinegar barbecue. But they serve coleslaw on all their barbecue there. Okay. So I'd had coleslaw on a barbecue sandwich.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk some actual, like, modern-day sports stuff. We'll go ahead and jump into that. I've ingratiated you into Memphis culture, and I think people are willing to accept you, especially knowing you live in North Memphis, bro. That did it. I think they might have did it for me. but seriously, though, you had a column that came out yesterday where you talked about Musa Cisse and how he's pushed his decision back. Not only has he pushed his decision back, but he's also seems like he's getting frustrated by people assuming that he's going – to one school. That one school, of course, has been LSU, has been the team that a lot of people who get paid to supposedly know what they're talking about and supposedly know these kids and know how these decisions work. And a lot of people point towards LSU. So what do you think as far as what's making them pause? What's making them say it's not necessarily LSU or whatever? He didn't name a team, so to speak. But what do you think is making Memphis be in the mix, and do you think Memphis has a realistic chance with it?
I think Memphis, you know, so I was at a workout, a Team Thad workout Monday night that Musa was at. Mm-hmm. And as I phrased it on our show yesterday, when I walked in there and when I walked out, I felt a lot better about Memphis's chances after talking to Musa and talking to some people around Musa. I felt a lot better about Memphis's chances when I left than when I got there. I don't know, you know, I'm not paid to predict where these kids are going to go to school. But I think with Memphis, there's some, you know, he liked living here the last year. You know, he moved here from New York. He's been, you know, I think Penny and Tony Madlock have done a nice job building a relationship with him. I think there are some people behind the scenes in his recruitment who have real ties to Memphis. There are also some people behind the scenes, and you can derive whatever you want from me saying it like that, vaguely like that, who have ties to LSU. So I think that's why it appears to me, you know, I know he said to me the other night, you know, I'm still considering all the schools in my top six, but I think it's become very clear to me that it's LSU or Memphis. And maybe Florida State. Maybe Florida State if you want to include a third team in there. But I don't know. I think part of what he said the other night was just, you know, these kids want to have suspense. They want to have like an announcement. You know, they only get to announce their college choice one time. Right. And, you know, they like that, the attention and the suspense that comes with that. So I think that was part of what he said the other day. But I also think the fact that he pushed back the announcement is a telling sign. I mean, it was like it was viewed as a done deal early last week when people were expecting him to announce by the middle of the week or by the end of the week. And then when he delayed it, that typically is not a good sign for the favorite. Whenever these kids extend an announcement like this, and from the indication I got the other night was that Moose is not going to decide until like the end of the month now. Mm-hmm. Typically, that doesn't work in the team. When there's a team that's considered a heavy favorite, like LSU was, typically that doesn't work in their favor. And so this gives Penny more time to emphasize whatever he's offering in terms of, you know, what Memphis has to offer as a school and as a program to Musa. And he's back in Memphis now. Like, he was in New York for the past several weeks, celebrating Ramadan and being with family. Now he's back in Memphis working out, And as someone who's lived here your whole life, Sane, when, right. you know, this city, I know, like, Musa Cisse would probably be noticed in any city he lived in because he's 7 foot, you know, what 7-footer wouldn't get noticed. Mm-hmm. But here in Memphis, where everyone, like, where, for instance, high school recruits are talked about on the radio on the regular, and everyone knows what's going on with Tiger basketball, I mean, he now, being in Memphis, he's not going to be able to go out and go around anywhere without hearing about Memphis. And that's a built-in recruiting advantage that Penny has, that Memphis has with any in-city recruit. And so I think it's trending in the right direction for Memphis, in the sense that him pushing it back, to me, I don't know if it means he's going to pick Memphis, but my gut tells me it's not a great sign for LSU. And so we'll see what happens, because I think he's the type of recruit who can, you know, I've said it on the program, he'll whatever team he chooses, if the team is good, he can take them to really good. If they're average, he can take them to good. He's the type of recruit because of how good he is defensively, he can take your team to another level. And so to me, he can take Memphis from being what appears to be, I think Penny thinks he has, I know some people have said fringe tournament team, but I've talked to people who've spoken to Penny recently. Like, Penny thinks he has a tournament team with the group he has coming back, and and hopefully he gets at least one of these transfer waivers. If you add Musa to the mix, you're talking about a team that can go on a run in the NCAA tournament, that can get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, and then once you get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, who knows what can happen from there. So it's a massive couple weeks here, I think, for Memphis basketball. Because Musa is the type of difference-making recruit that this team lacks, I guess, right now at the moment.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you think it's a two-team race. You think it's between Memphis and LSU and maybe Florida State. There have been some reports that Kentucky got involved with the kid sometime last week. Do you think that's real? Do you just discount Kentucky's ability to come in?
I would never discount Kentucky. The question with Kentucky is have they heard something on the – they got this transfer from Wake Forest, Olivier Saar. Mm-hmm. And he transferred from Wake Forest. He was a really good big man for Wake Forest last year in the ACC. And if he's eligible, like, he's going for a transfer waiver. And if he can't – if he can get one, there's no – like, he'll start over Musa Cisse, I would think. Or at least he would certainly significantly curtail – Cisse's playing time. So it wouldn't make a ton of sense for Musa to go to Kentucky in that scenario. Now, have they gotten an indication that Olivier Saar's waiver is going to get denied? That's an interest. I mean, if that's the case, then yes, I would think they're a threat, but it seems, it seems a little early for them to hear from the NCAA about a transfer waiver, but maybe they've gotten an indication that Saar's transfer waiver is going to get denied. And in which case, I would not, you never discount John Calipari in a big time recruiting battle.
No doubt about that. We're talking to Mark Giannotto from 92.9 FM, ESPN, and also the Commercial Appeal. He's a columnist for the Commercial Appeal. Mark, as far as Cisse is concerned, just looking at him as a prospect, last year there was a lot of talk when they evaluated James Wiseman, saying that he could be a guy who could possibly underwhelm in college basketball. We didn't see much of him, so we don't really know what he was. They were saying he was a guy that could possibly be better as a pro than he would be as a college player because of his style of play and some of the limitations that college basketball has for big men. How would you evaluate Cisse? Is he a plug-and-play guy who can come in and be one of the top players, top big men in college basketball, or is he more of a project who's just simply a defensive player, or does he have those offensive skills that you'll see, okay, yeah, that guy's an obvious pro, or that's a guy that can take us to the Final Four or to a championship game?
So defensively, he'll be one of, I think he has a chance to be the best shot blocker in the country next year, right away.
Wow.
Like, right off the bat, in his 1 year in college. Like, that's how good he is defensively. And so in that regard, he is a plug-and-play guy. Now, if you're expecting to run your offense through him right now, he's not at that point offensively. He's gotten better. Like, I watched him the other night on Monday, and it was, he was the biggest guy there. But it was a workout with several top 50, top 100 type recruits.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like just some pickup run. It was like some pretty good prospects out there. And you can see, like, around the rim, he's pretty good. Like, he's got a decent touch around the rim. He's got good instincts as a rebounder. He hit, like, a face-up jumper from the elbow. He shoots threes. He's not great at shooting them. He's got a decent stroke where 5 years down the line, I could see him being able to stretch out his game once he gets to the NBA. But he's not going to be there next year. But to me, he's the type of player who it's not like you wouldn't be able to throw it to him down in the post. I think you can. I think he's got enough of an offensive skill set where he can operate in the post. It's just you cannot be running an offense through him at this point. And like to me, his best sort of offensive game is going to be what makes him so special is he's 7 foot with a 7 foot four wingspan, but he's athletic like a 6'8" kid, you know,
okay.
Like he runs the floor and he's fluid. So I think where he's going to really, he'll excel right away offensively in the college game is running the floor and rebounding and, you know, doing stuff like that. And I think why it'll work at Memphis because they don't need him to be a focal point of the offense. They've got DJ Jeffries. They've got Boogie Ellis. They've got Lester Quinones. They've got guards that will allow him to kind of just do what he does best rather than have to do too much right away. I think eventually he could be a better offensive weapon, but I think defensively, like I can't overemphasize, like even in that workout Monday night, some of the blocks he has are just amazing. And he's the type of guy who, if they have a stat for shots altered, like anyone who takes it into the paint is going to have, even if he doesn't block it, they're going to have to adjust their shot. And so, like, I think if he comes to Memphis led the nation in field goal percentage defense last year. I think there's a pretty good chance they could do it again if they have Musa.
Well, Mark, maybe I'm thinking about this the wrong way. Maybe I think that a lot of people are overthinking this. I'm just thinking just with the common mind. I don't cover college basketball recruiting. I don't cover high school. I don't cover any of that. But if I'm just looking at this from the outside looking in, I'm looking at a kid who's not from here, who moved here, and he's friends with Precious Achiuwa. Precious has nothing but glowing things to say about the university. He shared about how Penny Hardaway convinced him to play down low and how he felt like it benefited him. He's friends with Lester Quinones, who plays for the team. He's in Memphis. Am I overthinking this? Think, okay, that kid's going to be a Tiger. Like, is something I'm missing there? What do you – like, what factors into that? Is maybe the allegations or, you know, what do you think factors into that? Why am I possibly thinking about it wrong?
And just yesterday, he appeared in Malcolm Dandridge's Instagram story. And like smiling and they were happy. And so there was any concern there about, you know, like there's a guy who probably will get start over Malcolm.
Right.
If he comes to Memphis, it appears that that's not an issue either. Jeffrey cornered me on the show yesterday and made me like make a prediction. And so
well, I'm about to do the same.
I said 51 per, I said I had moved myself from thinking LSU was going to get him to 51% chance Memphis gets him. So
you're still there today.
It covers me. You know, I'm not ready to crystal ball into Memphis. But like I said, I felt a lot better about Memphis's chances after I left that gym on Monday than when I got there. And this is more of just a gut feeling, like sort of what you're saying. Like it feels like it's trending a lot like the James Wiseman recruitment in
right.
this sense. For the longest time, everyone was like, well, Memphis has Penny, but Kentucky's the favorite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know he's in Memphis, but, Kentucky's Kentucky. And then as you got closer and closer to James Wiseman's announcement, and you started to, like, really look closely at all the factors and all the backstory of this, it was like, of course he's going to pick Memphis. Like, where else would he go? And it's not quite the same because Musa's ties to Penny are – not as deep as James Wiseman's were. You know, Penny never coached Musa Cisse. But as you start looking at all the factors, and some of the people involved in the recruitment, you start like as Monday went along, for instance, I just started thinking to myself, man, like, why wouldn't he pick Memphis? Like, kind of like the Wiseman thing. So I'd say I have a decent feeling, but I don't know. I don't want to discount what all those recruiting national recruiting guys are saying, because like when there's that much of a consensus about one school for a high profile recruit like this, especially from like big name national recruiting guys like Evan Daniels and Brian Snow and Corey Evans, like got big time guys. Like, I don't want to discount what they're saying, and so like to say that I'm not confident that it's going to be Memphis. But I'll just say I have a much better feeling now than I did a week ago that Memphis has a legitimate chance to get Musa Cisse.
All right, Mark, I'm going to switch lanes to the Grizzlies as their final question before I let you go.
Okay.
What do you think about rivalries as far as Memphis is concerned? Because I know when you came here, I want to say when you came here, the Clippers rivalry was either dying or it was already dead. So who do you think?
My first year here was the last playoff year when they lost to the Spurs.
Okay, yeah, we didn't have it. Yeah, it was gone.
Yeah, so I was not really here for the height of
whoop that trick
grit and grind,
right?
Grizzlies. I've heard you talk. I mean, New Orleans makes a lot of sense as a rival, especially because it feels like because the media is anointing Zion as this savior of the league, and it feels like in some ways discounting Zion or discounting Ja a lot. It feels like it's a perfect setup for Memphis, because this is how like Memphis thrives being overlooked,
right,
and undervalued. And the cities are pretty close together. You know, it's like one of the few trips in the NBA that you can, you know, a pretty easy drive, all things considered, for Memphis Grizzlies fans. And they're in the same division, so they're going to play a lot.
Right.
They both look like they're going to be pretty good in the years to come. So the only thing we need Ja. So far, Ja and Zion seem pretty friendly off the court. I know they played together at AAU. They grew up in South Carolina. What we need is something to happen between Ja and Zion. Like next time they play, Zion commits like a real hard foul on Ja driving to the basket. We need something like that. That'll really spark it, I think.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it. Well, Mark, I appreciate you, brother, jumping on with me today. That was Mark Giannotto of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Thanks, here Mark. On 92 FM ESPN. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Jarvis Greer is going to join us. And me and Brad have got some things we're going to chop up as well. We'll see you guys in a minute. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
This is an important message about coronavirus. You are at higher risk for getting seriously ill if you are over 65, if you have any serious underlying medical conditions like heart disease, chronic lung disease like asthma, diabetes, or if you are undergoing cancer treatment. Stay home. Avoid close contact with others. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water for 20 seconds. Disinfect frequently touched objects like doorknobs and light switches. Visit coronavirus.gov for the latest information from the CDC. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Hurt? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
From nurses to truck drivers, doctors to grocery clerks, the front lines in today's crisis are filled with brave actions every day. And you can do your part by completing the 2020 census. This simple effort online, by phone, or by mail will help impact the next 10 years of healthcare, schools, and roads. All of our first responders need your response. So go to 2020census.gov today. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Now that the warmer weather has arrived, let Choate's perform their $60 20-point AC tune-up to get your AC ready for the hot summer months ahead. Also, Choate's is offering our half-off, one-pound Freon coupon on our website for you to use. Does your HVAC system need to be replaced? If so, right now is an excellent time to take advantage of Carrier's 60 months, no-interest financing on select systems. Want to improve your indoor air quality? Choate's is also offering our new Abco air purifier for $100 off when you get your air ducts cleaned. UV technology sterilizes biological contaminants and neutralizes odors and toxic VOCs. Match that technology with getting your air ducts cleaned, and you'll have the indoor air quality your family needs. Better call 347-8086 today. These specials won't last long. Turn to the experts with Choate's and let our family serve your family.
Kids screaming, dogs barking, both at the same time, and you missed what the host...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.